First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. There are a lot of questions being asked these days in a number of circles about the work of the devil. And there are a number of serious misconceptions concerning the power of our adversary, the devil. For example, in the minds of many, the devil is a powerful spirit, even equal with God. And others believe that the devil can, in fact, devour Christians and separate them from the love of Christ. The Apostle Peter attempts to set us straight on these misconceptions, and he does so in verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. In verse 8, the Apostle Peter sets forth and discusses the activity of the devil. He prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But then in verse 9, the beginning of verse 9, Peter gives the Christian response to the activity of the devil. But resist him, Peter says, firm in your faith. And so this morning we look at these two things. The activity of the devil as Peter describes that activity. And secondly, the Christian's response to the devil's activity. First of all, as Peter describes the activity of the adversary, he says, he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He prowls about. Literally, it means he walks around. I think the King James Version has the better rendering here when it says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. And the best picture of that activity is found in Job chapter 1. We read it just a few minutes ago, and if you turn back there and look at just a couple of verses. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, for instance. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came among them. If you have the New American Standard Version, it says in the margin, or the adversary. That's who we're talking about, our adversary, the devil, or Satan. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Where had Satan been? He had been out, walking around, up and down on the earth. We see the same thing in Job chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Satan, our adversary, the devil, roams about the earth, and he is continually carousing, if you will, walking up and down. And we might well ask the question, why is it that the devil does roam the earth as he does? Well, one of the big reasons is that the devil has a kingdom in this earth. Acts chapter 26, verse 18 speaks of the dominion of Satan. And Colossians 1:13 speaks of the dominion of darkness. And that dominion of Satan and that dominion of darkness amounts to the rule the ruling power of darkness and of Satan. You see, the devil does have a certain ruling power over the lives of certain individuals in this world. And the devil's kingdom is this ruling power over the lives of individuals, men and women, boys and girls in this world. As the Apostle Paul says, he is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience. And so you see, as the devil is the prince over a kingdom, he has children. Wasn't this so from the beginning? We read about it, for instance, in Genesis chapter 3, where the Lord our God speaks to the serpent who tempted Eve. And he says to that serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Yes, you see, that serpent of old, the devil or Satan, was to have seed. He was to have children who were to live in this world. And we see those children many places in the Bible. For instance, in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself is encountered by the Jews who are opposing him, he rebukes them saying, you are of your father the devil. And then again, when there is that magician who opposes the Apostle Paul and opposes the preaching of the gospel, the Apostle Paul rebukes that magician and he says, you are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. And then 1 John puts it a little more pointedly, I think. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 says, this is how we know who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not a child of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother. And that brings it pretty close to home, I think. So you see, the devil has a kingdom, and he has children in this world. And the devil's kingdom is not tied to a specific geographical area. The devil's kingdom is a spiritual rule of evil over the hearts of men and women and young people and children. And the devil roams the earth, at least in part, to tend that kingdom. But now as we look at our text, we see that Peter characterizes the devil as a roaring lion. It's interesting that Peter should pick out the lion to symbolize the devil. The lion, of course, is the symbol of power and ferocity. And so is the devil. The lion is known for his courage and cunning and strength. So is the devil. The lion is also known for his dignity and his dominance over other creatures. So is the devil. The lion is known as the king of the beasts. The devil is a king of sorts. He is a vicious cat who prowls at night. So is the devil. The devil is likened to a lion. And not only so, to a roaring lion. Why does the lion roar? The lion roars to scare, to intimidate. And that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to scare you and me. He tries to intimidate you and me. And his effort, again, is to undermine our faith, to undermine our Christian experience. Once again, I'd like us to turn to Job chapter 1, because we see the roaring of the devil there. Let's read just a couple of verses. For instance, Job 1, 8 through 11. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house, and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face." Look at what the devil does here. He slanders, for one thing. In verse 9, does Job fear God for nothing? My friends, that's real slander. The devil is saying, does Job fear God, thinking he will not be rewarded for his service to God? Of course not. And that's real slander. It's real slander because it cuts at the heart of the gospel of grace, and it is a preaching of salvation by works. And the devil will come to each one of us, and he will attempt to sway each one of us in the same way. The devil will come and he will say, "Do you serve God? Do you fear Him, expecting nothing?" Of course not. You're not that crazy. You're not that dumb. You expect to be rewarded for your service before God, don't you? Your reward is heaven above, and you're working hard to get to heaven. The devil is very devious, you see, and he will attempt to get you to agree with him in this. And then when you do agree with him in this, you see, he's preaching salvation by works. And when you do agree with him in this, he'll turn around and he'll roar at you with laughter because he'll say, "Look at the sin in your life. You don't expect to get to heaven, do you?" And in this way, he will attempt to undermine your faith and your Christian experience. And then look at Job 1:11 again. Satan says, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face. The devil will use your family, and he will use your physical possessions in an attempt to turn you away from the living God. For instance, if a close family member is taken away from you suddenly, is there not a tendency to challenge God and ask the question, is it really worth it to serve God? Look at what was brought upon Job. All that he had was taken away from him. His camels, his donkeys, his children, his possessions. And I, of course, look at myself and I look at others and ask the question, if our home and family and livelihood were taken from us, would there not be an awful tendency for us to be bitter and to turn against God? You see, these things are the roarings of the devil, an effort by him to intimidate us and to scare us. And why does he roar in this fashion? Why does he prowl about? Peter gives us the ultimate reason. He prowls about as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil is on the prowl looking for those whom he may swallow up. As we've already seen, Satan has children of his own. He's not so much concerned about those who are already a confirmed part of his kingdom. They are already devoured by him. The devil is on the prowl looking for others who are not a confirmed part of his kingdom so that he may devour them. And those who are not a confirmed part of his kingdom, he will attempt to turn away from Christ. He will attempt to cause them to curse God. He will attempt to cause them to turn away from the church and to despise the things of God. That was the response of Job's wife after the great calamity had struck in their household. Do you remember what Job's wife said to him? She said, "Curse God and die." That was her response. But Peter gives us a different response. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 again. Verse 9.
Peter says, but resist him firm in the faith. You notice right away that Peter talks about faith. The New American Standard Version really doesn't have the best translation here because there's a little word in there, your. And if you have that version, you see that it's in italics, meaning that it's not in the original language. The King James Version says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And the New International Version says, resist him standing firm in the faith. What Peter is talking about is the faith, the true faith, the only faith once for all delivered to the saints. He's talking about the faith of the Bible, Christianity. It would pay us at this stage just to review that faith for a moment. The true faith of the Bible, you see, teaches that God has a kingdom. The true faith of the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Lord of God's kingdom. And the true faith of the Bible teaches that in order to enter that kingdom, an individual must be born again. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a person is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To enter that kingdom, a person must be born again. And a person must confess that Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the penalty for his or her sins when he died on Calvary's cross. Not only so, this faith calls people to believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. And the confession of this faith is the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans 10, verse 9? He said, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. These are fundamental truths of the faith that Peter is talking about. And once we come into this faith, once we enter the kingdom of God and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we learn some other astounding things as we read the Bible and as we study with other believers. One of the things that we learn is that God Himself acted in our lives to take us out of the kingdom of the devil and place us into His own kingdom. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In Colossians 1:13, the Apostle Paul says, He, that is God, delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. What a great thing that is. We're no longer, you see, as Christians, part of the kingdom of evil. We are part of the kingdom of God. God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of His own beloved Son. Praise the Lord that that's the case. And then there's something even more astounding that we learn concerning this faith. We learn that as a genuine member of this kingdom, there is nothing that can separate us from that kingdom. The devil cannot devour us. Look down at verse 10 in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. It says, and after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. God has called you to His eternal glory in Christ. And what will He do? He will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's what He'll do. The devil can't devour you. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Can the devil snatch you out of
the Father's hands? No, he cannot. He cannot.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the faith. That's the faith that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. He says, but resist him firm in the faith. And this brings us to that basic exhortation, doesn't it? What is Peter saying? Resist him. Resist the devil. Resist him. Stand up against him. Oppose him. Withstand him. You're able to do that, you know. As a Christian, you are able to do that. As a Christian, you are a part of the kingdom of Christ. You are not a part of the devil's kingdom. And those who are a confirmed part of the devil's kingdom are already devoured by that devil. They don't have the ability and the power to stand up against him. But as a Christian, you do. And so Peter says, resist him. How? Look at the text again. Resist him firm in the faith. Be strong in the faith, Peter says. Have that faith as a solid foundation on which you stand. And when you stand on that foundation, you are able fully to resist the devil. That's what Peter's telling us. So be strong in the faith. Be well grounded in the faith. Be solid in the faith. And resist the devil by being solid and strong in the faith. And of course, this means grasping the fundamentals of the faith that we've just talked about. And to do this requires regular, prayerful reading and study of the Bible. You can't be strong in the faith and ignore regular, daily, prayerful reading of the Bible. You can't be strong in the faith and ignore the regular association with God's people for worship and study and prayer. You see, you are to be strong and firm, well grounded in the faith. And standing on that foundation of the faith of the Bible, you resist the devil. The devil very well may roar. And he may lurk looking to devour you. The devil may roar by bringing all sorts of slanderous talk and accusations and bitterness and what have you before you through others. The devil may roar by attacking in your family, by attacking your health, by attacking your possessions. And his effort again will be to undermine your faith and cause you to turn away from God. But as long as you remember that the devil cannot devour you, as long as you and I remember that we are a part of the kingdom of Christ and that God has taken us out of the kingdom of evil and placed us in his own kingdom, as long as we remember that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, let the devil roar. He cannot ultimately devour you. In fact, just the opposite is true. You can resist him. Resist the devil. The Apostle James goes so far as to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a tremendous thing. Why will he flee from you? He knows that when you are firm in the faith, he cannot beat you. And so he'll leave you.
And so, my friends, you already have the victory. The faith that you have. Take seriously the exhortation of Peter. Be strong in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when the devil roars, resist him, being strong in that faith.